Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. If you don't know me, it's probably because you don't know my name, but you know my book. I wrote The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
Wow, they have our name up on the screen. Yeah, I love that. That's very, so cool. Very classy.
And your name's spelled right. I've been seeing it spelled wrong a lot.
Well, they're Chironing everything now, and they have it says spell check on it.
I love it. No.
So we're doing this show live. How come, Jen?
We are live on Facebook, and we want your questions. We want your comments. Put them right below if you're watching us right now, and we'll read them throughout the show.
No fair commenting on Jen's hat, even though it's 85 degrees outside.
It's freezing in here. It's like Antarctica, Jeffrey. It's like 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's because your sales tips are so hot.
So, in commenting on what we do and how we do it, behind the glass is the great Doug Branson. He's running the show over here with Chris Hill. Hi, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. A reminder to everyone watching live on Facebook that you can subscribe to our podcast and get every one of our shows in audio form on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. Just search Sell or Die. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Well, I'm looking at my little coffee mug here that says coffee is for closers. And I wonder, you know, everyone kind of knows. There you go. I wonder, everyone knows that.
It's such a beautiful mug, Jeffrey.
I know.
Where can I buy one?
You can buy one of these at, just call By Gittimer 704-333-1112. Damn near gave out my own phone number. The thing I never do. But you can call the office and we'll tell you that they're out of stock.
But they're coming back in
stock
soon.
Oh, yeah. They're coming back soon. Okay, so we've been traveling. Jen and I have been traveling. We're in the airplane. We're up and down. We're going out west next week. We got a lot of gigs to do. We got things on the fire. We're redoing our website. We're launching our all kinds of stuff. It's going to be exciting. The month of March is going to come in like a lion and leave full of money.
I like it.
So what's new with you, Jenny?
Well, someone called the other day not knowing if I did talks or not, and I thought it was clear from my website I do, so I just want to put it out there. I give talks just like Jeffrey does, and it's fun. I love it.
And we have our Gittimer Gold promo coming up. Last year was the year of the webinar. This is the year where you take webinars and go make money. I've decided to do more Q&A. Because so many people have so many questions, I can never get to them. And I want to make sure that if you sign up for Gittimer Gold for 2017, that you have plenty of opportunity to get your personal question answered. So this is an exceptionally interactive year, the year of the interactive webinar.
So where do they go if they want to sign up for Gittimer Gold?
I have no idea, but
I bet know.
You're going to...
Okay, go ahead. It's go.gittimer.com. Oh, look at that. They're putting it right up on the screen. Go.gittimer.com/gittimer-gold. Go.gittimer.com/gittimer-gold.
All right, we're cooking. Coming up, we have an amazing show. We're going to talk about the difference between a sales problem and a sales symptom, and why knowing the difference can help you not just make more sales, but just understand your whole darn life.
Plus, our guest today will join us live all the way from Australia. Tony Hughes, author and speaker, is here to help you build up your pipeline.
Australia, is that near Jersey?
Right next door.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, the New Yorkers, they know all about geography.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah, California.
So Tony Hughes is an author and a speaker. He's a pipeline guy, but there's a big article that was written about him. But before we get into that, let's get into this. It's time to sell or die. As you know, we're playing with Owler. Owler is a service that I subscribe to. I get their T-shirt, but I also get their message every morning, their email in my email box, and it tells me all about my competition, the companies that I'm interested in, the things that are going on in the business world, and it is free. It's just like a news thing that you would get, except it applies to you. Owler.com, they're over a million subscribers. It costs you jack. And jack, for those of you not from Philly, is half of a word. But the bottom line is it is useful and it will give you updated information about important things that might apply to you the very day that you read them.
Should they follow you on Owler? Can they follow you on Owler?
If you want to really follow me, you go to Owler and just put my name in there and it'll pop
right
up.
Bye, Gittimer.
Bye, Gittimer. Yeah. Oh, there it is right on the screen.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
Wow,
Doug is so sophisticated. I love this.
I know. It's really pretty neat.
Okay, cool.
All right, so if you want to sponsor the show and have your business or service viewed by thousands of motivated people that watch our show each week, all you
millions.
Need to do, it's millions, but, you know, I don't want to.
Oh, it's minions. Wait, it's minions. Okay, go ahead.
Just email sellordie@gittimer.com. Sellordie@gittimer.com for more information.
So today's show is all about the difference between a problem and a symptom. I think it's exceptionally important that you understand the problem versus the symptom. You know, the symptom in medicine is reverse. If you are going to have a heart attack, you may have a tingly feeling down your arm and then you have a heart attack. That's a problem. But it's opposite in sales. People say that I can't close the sale and they think I'm having a problem. I can't close the sale. Not true. You can't close the sale because of all the other things that happen. That's the culmination is you can't close the sale. Maybe you didn't make the right connection. Maybe the person didn't perceive the value. Maybe you were a dork when you presented. Maybe you were condescending. Maybe your slide sucked. Maybe your presentation skills sucked. Maybe you're Maybe they already have another person in mind. Maybe they want to shop around. But whatever it is, not closing the sale is a symptom. The problem goes way, 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 way deeper than that. So if you're listening right now, think about what you consider a problem. Like, I can't make enough cold calls, or I can't get to the decision maker. Take it, Jen. Take one.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's talk about the difference between problems and symptoms.
Okay.
Okay. So problems are deeper and tougher to solve. Sometimes they're made up of multiple symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And symptoms are easier to deal with in the short term. So if you can identify what the symptom is, you can have an easier time actually resolving that symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me give you one, Jeffrey. I can't close the sale.
Okay, I can't close the sale. Symptom. The problem is that the salesperson might not have been well prepared for that sale.
Well, there could have been many problems.
Of course.
Right? Maybe they didn't offer value or...
But you have to go back and look at it. That's why I recommend that every salesperson record their sales presentation. Because if you can't close that sale, there's a reason. And in the recording, that reason will become obvious.
So this is interesting. No salesperson that I've known, I don't know about you, has ever come to me as a sales manager and said, I have some symptoms... I have a problem. I can't get to the decision maker.
Well, they also don't say I didn't make the sale and it was all my fault.
Well, no
they're,
one does
they're
that.
Blaming the circumstances like crazy. But I think here the bottom line is that if you can't get, let's take I can't get to the decision maker. Let's
okay,
take that.
Let's okay. do it.
I can't get to the decision maker is a symptom. The problem is you're not well known. You know, the decision maker who you may have already tried to make contact with has Googled you and there's nothing there. And the guy doesn't want to meet with a nobody. He wants to meet with a somebody. That's number one. Number two, they may already have somebody else. They may already have a supplier, vendor. They don't want to do business with you. They don't want to talk to you. You blame the decision maker. The symptom is you cannot get to that decision maker. The problem goes all the way back to who you are as a salesperson and what your strategy is to get to that decision maker. And right now the strategy is zero because you can't get there.
Okay. So what about attitude? My attitude is negative. Problem or symptom?
Well, your attitude is negative. That's actually a problem. Because it manifests itself every place. It's not just a matter of your attitude's a problem. It's all the other things that pop into it. Those are the symptoms. Like, people don't like me. Well, that's not a problem. That's a symptom.
Let's put this in real world terms for everybody. I can't get a date.
Well, that's a problem and a symptom. Right? that's all right. So I think we've milked that cow.
All right. So, Jeffrey, here's another great topic for problem or symptom.
Okay.
My sales pipeline is empty.
I have an international expert on the phone right now waiting to give us the answer to my pipeline is empty.
That's right. He's come all the way from Sydney, Australia. Tony Hughes is a keynote speaker, sales improvement consultant, and best-selling author and award-winning blogger.
And all-around guy with an accent. Please welcome the great Tony J. Hughes. What's the J stand for, Tony?
Hey, Jeffrey. Hey, Jen. And hey, Doug in the background there. The J stands for John. I've been laughing my head off listening to you guys. I love your show.
Oh, cool. Thanks. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, you happen to be an excellent judge, even though you are a foreigner, and everyone knows that by your accent. How does it compare? Have you been to America lately?
Yeah, I have. I was just in Boston a couple of weeks ago. I go to the U.S. all the time. And when I was 25, I actually jumped on a plane from Sydney, flew to LAX, and started my own company. And in San Francisco, I had a grand plan of being a millionaire by the time I was 30. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen, and I should have heeded the wisdom of my flying instructor, who told me that confidence is the feeling you normally have just before you understand the situation. So, but I didn't make a lot of money, but I certainly learned a lot. And when I came back to Australia from the USA, the big lesson I got from the States being an entrepreneur was you got to know how to sell. So that was what caused me to go and get a job in selling. And I've basically been in sales or management my whole life and absolutely love it.
You sound like a pretty old bastard. How long have you been in sales?
Man, it's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah,
35 years.
Wow.
35 years. That's a long time. Hey, to answer your guys' question, if someone doesn't have enough pipeline, it is absolutely a symptom, not a problem. There's a whole bunch of problems that they've got to confront if they want to solve that one.
I have to tell you that the reason you're on the show is that I found your stuff somewhere. I can't remember
LinkedIn?
Where
the
huh?
LinkedIn?
Might have been LinkedIn. With LinkedIn.
The article
that you published on my sales pipeline. And I actually, when I looked at it at very first, I thought you're full of shit because you were calling it a problem. I go, no, it's a symptom. Then, like an idiot, I read the next line and realized that you also knew that it was a symptom. So that ruined
that
order.
Kept reading?
Yeah, I was going to trash you. I already had 1,000 words written.
Both you and Jen are both authors as well. So you guys both know you've got to have a headline that hooks someone interest, right?
That's
so
very true.
Right, you hooked us.
Well, you actually you didn't hook me. You pissed me off. So you had a deeper hook.
That's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that is the same thing with you.
You'll note that our producer, when he is on fire, will inject himself at any moment. So just be careful of what you say, Tony.
I was actually
talking to Doug before the call. He even knows all of the Australian colloquialisms. It was great.
Oh really?
Cool.
Like
cool.
Foster's is Australian for beer? Does he know
one? Actually, the ironic thing is nobody drinks Foster's in Australia. It's just an export brand. It's like no one drives a Lexus in Japan. I don't know whether you know this, but Lexus actually stands for Luxury Export US.
I never knew that.
That's cool. That's crazy.
I love that.
So did he start the conversation with G'day?
No, he didn't. But he said he was going to give me a ring.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty Australian.
Yeah.
Not like call you or whatever. Okay, so let's get back to it. So pipeline is empty. Symptom.
Yeah, so, talk to us about why you wrote the article to begin with.
Well, the number one problem, the number one problem every salesperson in the world will say that they have. I said it was the biggest problem in 2017, but it was and forever will be. The problem is that they just don't have enough pipeline. People think that they can sell, even if they're not that good. They just complain to their boss that there's not enough leads, there's not enough pipe. And it's a symptom, not a problem. The thing that people need to do first is they need to accept responsibility for creating their own pipe. There's been a lot of very dangerous stuff out there for years with social selling, where people think if I just build a strong brand, if I just start publishing some insights, out of the ether, these leads will come to me. And the other thing that's been going on in more larger enterprise selling, corporate selling, is the rise of inside sales. So people have got these sales development reps that are meant to get leads. All businesses, big or small, should be doing something with marketing to get web to lead going. But if you look at all of those things combined, they never provide enough leads for people to be able to go make their numbers. So the first thing is they've got to own the responsibility of generating their own pipe. And in life, we see what we're looking for. So whether it's referrals, the shortest path to revenue, the highest probability of a sale is absolutely a referral. And it amazes me how many people just don't ask. I've been doing a lot of work recently with a large law firm, and to try and get lawyers and partners within big firms to accept the fact that we all sell is a challenge in itself. But it's really simple when you've done something for a client. Say, hey, really enjoyed working on that matter for you and solving that problem. I've got some capacity at the moment. How else could we be helping you? Who else inside the organization should I be talking to? Mm-hmm. It's not a hard sell. It's just a case of really having eyes for the problem. So people need to own it and just accept that we see what we're looking for. So they've got to be laser focused is really the first thing.
Do lawyers' jokes make their way over to Australia?
Yeah, they do. We have lots and lots of great, great lawyer jokes. You know, it's like the guy that had a problem, but he only had $500 to solve it. So he goes to a lawyer and says, look, I've got this problem, but I've only got $500. Can I ask you two questions for that? And the lawyer reaches over and grabs the $500 and says, what's your second question?
I love that. That's... So,
that's fabulous.
Yeah, you guys are pretty funny down there.
I've got a very strange sense of humor. I'm actually the most read person in LinkedIn worldwide on B2B selling. A lot of my articles, I try to be the Monty Python of selling, but I really worry that very, very few people get my sense of humor. Yeah, I think you guys do.
Yeah, don't worry, we get it.
Yeah, well, we get it, or you wouldn't be on our show.
Exactly.
And we like it.
Exactly. Otherwise, so you'd be down under.
How do you become the most read author on LinkedIn? That's pretty
cool. That's the second time I've heard you brag about that.
No, but that's major. I want to know, and I think our listeners do too. How do you do that? How do you become the most read author?
Well, it's kind of crazy. I made the decision 2.5 years ago to get serious about building my brand, and I published an original article, an original blog post every day for 7 months, even while I was on vacation in Vietnam with my family. It was all kind of insane, but you've just got to be incredibly consistent.
Yep.
LinkedIn's changing a lot. It's very difficult to build following. No one knows how the algorithms really work. It continues to change. But for whatever reason, LinkedIn put me into their author program that they ran for a while. But the thing is, if you genuinely provide insights and write for your audience and always, always avoid doing self-promotion or trying to sell anything, then if you really respect your readers, then you can build following. So, and the big thing I'm writing about at the moment is this concept of combo prospecting. This you know, the way of solving the problem people have got. They've got to get high levels of really effective activity to break through the white wall of noise that every buyer faces when they go to work every day. So, you know, that's the big thing I'm writing about at the moment.
And is there a title to that?
Yeah. So, AMACOM, the American Management Association, have just signed me as an author. So the book's going to be called Combo Prospecting. I've got to have the transcript to them in 60 days' time. So I'm up till about 2 a.m. writing every day at the moment. And it's going to be published in January this year. It'll be available all through the U.S., Europe, Asia Pacific, and globally. So it's the number one problem that people talk about. The moment I write and tell people they've got to pick up the damn phone, things just go ballistic. One of the updates I published, quoting Jeb Blount, who I've got a huge amount of respect for, his book Fanatical Prospecting is a must-read for everybody.
He's a good friend.
Big fans of Jeb.
He's a really good friend of ours.
Yeah.
All people in the business who have their shit together are friends of ours.
That's good. I'm glad I made the list.
No, you didn't make the list, but all other people who...
Oh, boy.
Buddy. But But the really funny thing was, is I actually just published an update quoting that he'd left the same voicemail message for a CEO for over 40 days until the guy rang him back. He ended up selling $2.5 million deal, which is proof he helped him, not harassed him.
Yeah.
But the incredible thing was, is I had nearly 1 million views on that post in LinkedIn. People went crazy. They were telling me that I should go to jail. It's harassment. And I was saying, dude, it wasn't even me. But the moment you tell a salesperson, pick up the damn phone and stop sitting in social and stop doing endless research, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to build a human connection with somebody. So the purpose of research, the purpose of all the other things is to get a conversation going. But the moment you tell them that, people really, really don't like it.
Yeah. When we have more time, we'll talk a little bit offline. You might want my package that I offer to authors literally globally, that I'll help you by writing the foreword, but you'd have to cough it up a little bit to be able to make that happen.
I'm interested.
Okay. I don't want to make a sale right here on the Sell or Die. But if you'd like me to send me an...
But that is a good way to do it, right? We bring people on the show and interview them and then sell...
No, we'll have a conversation offline, but I'll send you an invoice right after we're done.
Let's see what your objection handling skills are like. It's too expensive.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize you were a cheap bastard and didn't want to sell any books. my ability to overcome a barrier or to at least lower a barrier is a lot different than the other guys, because most of the time the salesperson doesn't have any balls and won't ask the right question or make the right statement to create engagement. Most of the time when there's a price is too high or some other kind of, I got to think about it or meet other people, it becomes a distance builder rather than an engagement response. And I try to deepen the engagement at that point in time. If the guy says he's got a meeting to go to, I said, great, can I go?
Look, I absolutely agree. And one of the things I teach the people that I work with is, for everybody in sales, there's going to be maybe 6 or 7 common objections that they get. Yep. This sounds counterintuitive, but my view is that objections are for amateurs. We need to proactively deal with objections. So, for example, I work with some people in the recruiting industry, and a common objection they'll get is, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to meet with you. If I met with every recruiter that called me, I'd never get any work done.
Yep.
If you got a CV, send it. I'm too busy. What I've said is, you've got to make the too busy objection or excuse, you've got to make that the reason to meet. So you've got to have a narrative. So the big thing I talk about is that one of the biggest problems people have in not being able to build pipeline, one of the reasons they fear jumping on the phone, is they're like a deer in the headlights when the person actually answers the phone call, when they finally get a live human on the other end.
Right, they don't know what to say.
Yeah, and what we need is a narrative. We've got to stop talking. We've got to stop talking about us and what we do and how we do it. And instead of that, we've got to talk about why a conversation should matter for them in their world. All business is done at the speed of trust. No business is ever done unless you can build trust. And the first way you do it is you do a little bit of research and you talk about what's important to them. It's really the first thing. So most people just have a really poor narrative. And we just need to earn the right to engage them in conversation. So,
The actual deal, though, is to earn their trust or to have any kind of trust whatsoever, you have to have some kind of social platform, because the person's going to Google you. And
well, then it's true, and you and I know that 74%, because all made up statistics.
Very
are
74%.
Good, Tony.
Research. I love that.
Oh, the really funny thing is, it's close to 74%, but about 3/4 of buyers, especially in B2B.
That would be 75%. Let's just shave it a little bit, and it comes down to my number.
74.9%. But what happens is, the majority of buyers will research us online before they engage.
So of course, before the guy even walks in the room.
Who doesn't? Yeah. Are they living under a rock?
Well, like, salespeople used to think that they were anonymous, that they lived in a vacuum someplace. And when they walked in the room, they owned it. Meanwhile, the guy's already figured out who this turkey is one way or the other. And, you know, it's totally crazy.
That's totally crazy.
Yeah, totally crazy. Look,
it's true. And for these guys in recruiting, the thing I say is, if you run outreach with a hiring manager, they'll research you online. When they see your LinkedIn profile, you want to have a post that says, investing 20 minutes with me will save you 12 hours and dramatically de-risk the hiring process, because the risk is all in cultural fit. It's not in the other obvious things. So if you write a post like that, evidence it, show some insights, now you're dealing with an objection in advance. Hopefully it will never even come up with the guy.
However, evidence with insight is trumped, and I don't mean to use that positive or negative way, is trumped by testimonials. If I had an employer who took one of my people and said, this guy did the research, he did all the hiring, pre-hiring, it's the best employee we've ever had, you get five of those, I don't need to say a thing. I don't need to say one thing.
And this is a scary thought when I actually have a look at your picture right now, Jeffrey, but the truth is we all sell naked today, right? Anybody can scratch past the facade.
That's not how, that happens to be a beautiful picture, Tony. That's like,
not for me. Not for me.
That was not part of his homework.
And as a guest, you might want to let me do the jokes.
So in closing.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Tony, it has been amazing having you on our show.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
The best place to find me is inside LinkedIn, and please follow what I blog. You can also find me at tonyhughes.com.au. That's my speaker website. And my sales methodology website is rsvpselling.com. And just really encourage people, own prospecting. 2 hours a day, time block it, adopt combos. Voicemail, email, SMS, get on the phone to people, social. Don't hide behind social media and don't depend on other people to spoon feed your leads.
And be honest here. Let's be transparent. You live in the land down under.
I do.
And in order to be able to have credibility in the United States, we look at people who don't live in the U.S. as not quite as credible as people that do live in the U.S.
Talk for yourself.
Well,
I don't.
Well, I mean, Jeffrey, your accent immediately makes you sound much more intelligent than we do.
You're saying they're more credible?
No, they're less credible.
What?
It's just my opinion. I don't think you're going to get a guy from London to come over and tell somebody how to make a cold call.
Well, the good news,
Jeffrey. I see what you're saying. That was what you said, though, is a little bit out of context. You were generalizing it. I think what you mean is if they're teaching here.
Yeah, and you actually happen to be damn good, just by the way. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had you on the show. But
the thing is, I've done this in the USA. I've lived there. I've run a company. I've worked with US companies. I've run US companies for the Asia Pacific region. But the reality is this stuff absolutely works if people would just do it. And when I lived in the States, I learned the hard way that America is a parochial place. So I agree with you.
Yeah, we think that we're the only place on the planet. And if you if you live in New York, you don't even think Pennsylvania is a place on the planet.
Yeah, that's true. Or New Jersey. New Jersey's really far.
Yeah, it's for farmers.
So, Tony, while we have you on the show, I'd like to offer our listeners who are watching us on Facebook right now, Facebook Live, to ask some questions. So I'm going to ask them right now if you could
how's your pipeline,
submit
people?
Some questions for Tony. We would love to have him answer your question while he's on the show.
One of the questions that I wanted to ask is, did you write that article just off the top of your head, or did you do any kind of research?
Well, I'm always doing research, and a lot of my research is in my other blog posts. So I publish tons of content, and you know, if someone wants to build following in platforms like LinkedIn or even Facebook, the thing is not to really publish statements and point of views and articles. It's try to start conversations. You want to get people engaged. Mm-hmm. So everything I write is based on the research that I'm doing real time inside LinkedIn. I get amazing feedback from people telling me what works and doesn't work. It's incredible.
Earlier in the show, you said to build an audience, you wrote an article a day for how many days?
For 7 months, if you can believe this. Every single day in my life, I published an article.
Way to go. How many words?
Well, people will tell you out there you need to go for about 400 words. The ironic thing is I found that long-form posting actually created greater engagement. We all know that you need a headline that hooks interest. You've got to tell the reader why the thing's important for them to read up front. You've got to add visual images. Typically, 7 images is the right kind of number of images to add. You can add video as well. But I personally believe salespeople should not focus on publishing original content. Most salespeople can't write is the thing that I discovered is really the first problem. And then they start doing it in core selling time, you know, what Jeb Blount calls the golden hours. You can't be doing this crap in selling time. It's got to be after hours. Mm-hmm. But what they can do is they can curate content. So they can go and find the people out there in social that their customers really rate, right? So don't publish stuff that's of interest to you. Publish stuff that's of interest to your market. And what you want is your audience or your market to see you as that hub of amazing content. You want them thinking, I don't have time to get on social every day for hours and find stuff. But man, if I just follow Jeffrey Gittimer, he finds all the great stuff for me. If I just follow Jen, she finds this great content for me. I've just got mm-hmm. to follow her. Done. That's,
there's obviously there's shortcuts you can take. Listen, we just took a poll of our audience, and 74% of the people totally loved you.
That's very funny.
Well, luckily for us, we were able to find you through your content on LinkedIn all the way across
exactly.
the globe. So
exactly.
thank you so much for sharing your
And when we
content.
Come to Australia, we're staying at your house. Is that okay?
That sounds awesome. I live in a place that's a little bit like the Ozarks. There's a lot of banjo playing, but I'm sure you guys will be fine.
Are there kangaroos right, in the backyard? Wait a minute. Set the whole picture. Are there kangaroos in the backyard?
Actually, I've got a cabin at a river just near Sydney where I wakeboard, and we've got kangaroos out there. So I'll take you wakeboarding with kangaroos. How's that?
It'll be my pleasure.
That sounds fabulous.
Okay, and you take care of yourself. Very nice to talk to you. We'll figure out a way to talk offline.
Yeah,
my people will call your people.
Thanks so much, Tony.
And I love your guys' show. I'll promote it to everyone I know.
So awesome.
Send it to
Thank
both
you.
Your friends. Yeah. Send it to both your friends.
All right. So let's say hello to our friends on Facebook. We have Reza here who says, "Hi, Jeffrey. When are you coming to Toronto? I checked your website but did not see anything in schedule."
Most of the seminars that I give are private corporate seminars.
Reza, you can hire Jeffrey.
I was
to
just
come.
In Toronto.
Oh, look, his backdrop's the Canadian flag. How nice.
Who's?
Reza, this guy.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So your public speaking schedule will be posted soon on your new website.
We're going to do a little bit of a tour this year.
Cool. Rob says, "Hey, guys, it's Rob Miller. How do I break into a new territory that we have not worked in before?"
You find out about your customers that are in your existing territory and find out who they know in your new territory.
I love that. So you ask for referrals.
Well, it's not necessarily a referral. It's more like a who do you know? You know, like I'm looking to make an outreach. I don't need you to make a phone call unless you really want to. But, you know, do you know anything about the territory? Do you know who anybody who lives in the territory? And you can send an email out to your inner 100 or your inner 1000, and I guarantee you that you'll get response.
The other thing I would do is I would network. I would go to my new potential new territory
and hang out at the
join
chamber, hang out,
networking groups there. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So our reminder to our podcast listeners, you can watch us live on Facebook. The best way to find us and when we'll be live is to follow us on Twitter at Gittimer or at Jen in a New York Minute and like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer and Facebook.com/Jen in New York Minute. We want to answer your questions and we want you to join the conversation live. So all you need to do is follow us and submit in the comments section.
So you want to talk about this interview that we just had? Because I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, let's talk about it for sure.
Yeah, he was so good.
Yeah,
he's
great. It was very, very good. And you know why it was so lively? Because it was funny. And because this guy did his homework.
But also he knew his subject matter.
Tell
right?
me 74% wasn't a shocker.
That was
Come
amazing.
On. And funny.
That
and,
was amazing.
But here's the deal. The pipeline issue is one that we could discuss literally for a week because salespeople have that one guy at the end of the month in their pipeline that they need this particular sale. And if they don't get the sale, they're going to die. And most of them die. Most of the time, that sale does not come through. If you only had two people in your pipeline. So this is my advice for pipeline. Figure out what you need for your monthly quota. If it's $100,000, have $300,000 in your pipeline the first week of the month. A 1-to-3 ratio will give you the people that you need. You know, it means you have to close 33% of your people. If you can't close 33% and you're only 25%, then you better have four times the amount of money. But you add up your quota dollars and that will tell you exactly how much you need to, what you need to do, how you need to work it. That's the secret. The secret is to keep your pipeline full. You can't milk your pipeline 1 month and feel like you're going to be ahead of the game. There has to be a constant flow of either prospects or prospecting or social media outreach or lead attraction or a combination of all those things to get your pipeline full. And you have to have an amount that you think that that sale is worth or that pipeline piece is worthless.
So to get your – okay. I love that. And you also have to know how many leads you need in your pipeline to hit your goal.
Correct.
I had a rep once who was pregnant and going to be out, you know, like 4 months before
You're
the
pregnant?
End of the year. No, not me, a rep, oh. A sales rep. And she said to me, Jen, I'm going to make my quota in 8 months. I go, what? Okay, amazing. She goes, well, I'm going on maternity leave and I'm going to make my quota in 8 months. I'm going to do it by filling up my pipeline. I know that if I get X in my pipeline, right. I can get Y. So I just need to do 2X. And by the 6 months, I should make my quota. But if not, I have the buffer for the extra 2 months.
Oh, my God.
Way to go. It was awesome. All right, Jeffrey, you get questions about filling the pipeline from listeners and subscribers to the Gittimer Learning Academy all the time.
Yes.
And we've pulled one from your Ask Jeffrey series on YouTube. Let's take a look.
Dear Jeffrey, I've been struggling to get construction leads in the Miami area. I've been emailing a ton of realtors offering a 10% commission and no answer. How can I improve my pipeline? Answer, by never emailing those people again. If you have no response, all you're doing is being annoying and begging for something. And who's going to take 10% of anything anyway? So what you want to do is start to work. Yeah. In other words, hitting the send button is not work. Go to the construction office in Dade County, which I think is Miami, and start to pull construction leads. Start to pull building permits and start to visit people on the job site. And even though you may be too late for that particular job, let me give you a clue. When they've done that job, they're going to go to another one. They're going to try to get another one. And those are the people that you want to meet, working people. Go on the job site, shake hands with people, get to know them, and build your pipeline from there. Go to work.
So if you want to get more in depth with building pipelines and forming relationships and earning referrals, make sure you're signed up for the Gittimer Learning Academy. How tough can that possibly be? It's a small investment and you make the investment in yourself. Benjamin Franklin, the best investment you can make is the one that you make in yourself. 1776, the guy had his act together. He's on the $100 bill. How bad can that be? You know what I mean?
And they're showing the Gittimer Learning Academy on the screen right now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
if you're watching us live, that's really awesome. So it's just GittimerLearningAcademy.com?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, great.
And you go there. And when you're there, if you want to take extra amounts of learning lessons, you're going to need some coffee. And my recommendation and the recommendation of this show and the recommendation of this company is that you get Death Wish Coffee. America's strongest coffee is also America's best coffee. We drink it right here on the show all the time, and I recommend that you drink it too. Death Wish Coffee, America's number one coffee in strength. I think
it's
Folger
made from
sells
the strongest
more cups,
possible combination of perfectly roasted
right,
beans.
Right, it's a secret
it's
formula.
Amazing. So go get your first bag of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
What's next, Jenny?
Well, let's head back out to Facebook and say hello to some of these people here. We have Alvin who says, any suggestion on how to change up my phone messages to get a better return call rate when I cold call? Actually, you're doing a webinar coming up on prospecting with Jeb in March.
Uh-huh.
And all you need to do is go to, I hate to not answer Alvin's question.
All right, Alvin, here's one answer for you.
You're going to be doing a one-hour webinar on this.
Hi, this is Alvin. I was speaking with a couple of your biggest competitors yesterday. They were talking about you and they said, and you hang up. And that guy will call you back, Alvin, and your phone number. And they were talking about you and they said, and then you hang up. It's not very professional, but it's fun. And you'll get a return phone call.
All right. I think you'll have more strategies on your one-hour webinar with Joe Blunt coming
up
on Gittimer Gold.
That is correct.
All right. And we have Virginia Lee Williams who says, old friend. Is she calling you old or are you longtime friends?
We are longtime friends.
All right. And we have one up on the screen. Amber.
Hey, Virginia, says, by the way, how are you doing? just let me know. Text me somewhere or call me somewhere.
All right. Amber says, what is the one question I should ask someone I want to hire in a new sales role?
Huh?
What's one question I should ask someone I want to hire in a new sales role? I think she's doing the hiring and she's interviewing. She wants to know what's
that one deep question to ask that if you prospective
could,
hiree.
If you could cure any disease, what would it be?
I don't know. I like to ask people to sell me something. It shows me what kinds of questions they're going to ask, if they're going to ask questions. It shows me their selling
this is
style.
What I would. Bob, if I could call any one of your past customers and ask what kind of a job you did with them, who would you recommend that I call? See, I don't care what a sales guy says about himself. I want to know what customers think about the guy.
Yeah, I want to see them in action, though. I want both.
Yeah, that's okay, but yes, you're right. You do want to see them in action, but that's not a real circumstance. That's a staged circumstance. What I'd want is somebody that I've done business with for 10 years or 5 years or 1 year that respects me, likes the way I did business, likes the way I treated him, likes what I did for him. That's going to give me more insight about that person than anything because I'm going to ask the customer when I get him on the phone, how did Bob make this sale?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have hired people. What do you have any answers that you've gotten from any question that you've asked to one of these prospective hirees that really piqued your interest, made you go, ooh, yeah.
Well, I can tell you the negative side because we think there's good money in it. Any sales guy who thinks he's going to take a job for good money is a fool because he's not going to like the job.
I want to know that they're motivated, money motivated. If they're not money motivated, they're not going to do this every day because they're going to be fine with their base and fine with whatever comes their way.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if they tell me, well, it's all about, and whatever you're, you know, if you're selling something to kids, it's all about the kids, I may believe them, but...
I'd rather hire the guy that tells me he wants to take care of his family. I'd rather because that I know
well,
that guy's going to work hard. I don't want them to tell me because I have a college tuition loan that's due.
Yeah,
you know, there's certain giveaway things that tell you. I don't want a monetary or material person. I want a family person. I want someone who's going to speak from their heart. Somebody
well,
that
that's
wants
part
to improve.
Of the culture here is family. That's yeah. why. Anyway, all right. So we are moving along.
Whoa.
I like this. All right.
So we're going to stay on the topic of building your pipeline. And part of that requires that you go out and network. And recently, our own Jen Gluckow had the pleasure of interviewing the great Jeb Blunt. Show picture of Jeb. and isn't it interesting that Tony is pals with Jeb?
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's very interesting.
That's yeah. so cool. He didn't even know that we were going
to
show this.
Exactly.
Smart people tend to congregate together.
No, birds of a feather.
Oh, that's what I meant.
People that like bacon tend to sit down at the same table and eat bacon. And by the way, Jeb is a total bacon. In fact, when he comes on the show, I think March the 7th is the day that that Jeb and I are going to do the Get 'Em or Gold thing. I'm going to have bacon on the table here that we can crunch while we're doing it because it'll be Facebook Live anyway.
I like it. It won't be very kosher, but it'll be...
Kosher bacon
kosher
is not...
Kosher bacon.
Yeah. Actually, I have to be real careful about what I say because I don't want to offend an entire group of people. When you're on... You know, when you're doing a show like this, there has to be... Your favorite color at some point has to be plaid. You can't hurt a bunch of people, even though I'm one of them. I don't want to say anything against people that don't eat bacon. There you go.
That's very nice, Jeffrey.
Yeah. I don't know that people are that sensitive about bacon or
so
not.
So Jen had the pleasure of interviewing the great Jeb Blunt. And by the way, I'll probably say this on the show, but his name is spelled B-L-O-U-N-T. And he pronounces it Blunt. And I said, don't most people call you Blount? And he said, only Yankees.
Like, and Australians. That's what.
Yeah. That's true. Well, that's Australians. So this is tip number two. Let's take a look at Jeb and Jen.
Tip number two. Now, this is a blinding flash of the obvious.
Yeah.
Go. Yeah, you can do all the research online if you want to. You can find the networking groups. You can talk to people. But when someone says, hey, we're getting together at 7 o'clock in the morning, get up and go.
Oh, right.
You have to go. You have to take action. I mean, it's so easy. People say, yeah, you know, I talk to people all the time. I you know, there's chamber of commerce, there's rotary groups, there's private networking groups, there's lead exchange groups. There's people who get together and play tennis groups. There's all kinds of groups out there. But you won't accomplish anything if you don't get off your ass and get off the couch and go. You have to go. And the first time you go, it's going to suck because you're going to be alone and you won't know people and you got to, you know, you've got to warm up and you got to shake hands and it's going to be uncomfortable. But the next time and the next time and the next time and the next time, it gets easier and easier and easier. I know this is sort of a kind of in your face message, but go. And if you go, good things will happen to you.
The graphics in the New York Minute are amazing. And Jen Gluckow, the babe who does the New York Minute, is even more amazing. What's happening over there on that set, Jenny? Oh,
thanks, Jeffrey.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Don't
thank me. Well, I'm working on my networking book right now. I mentioned it in one of my former articles. But if you follow me on social media, you'll be one of the first to find out when it is published and comes out. So it'll be pretty exciting.
I think one of the things that is making this podcast what it is that we are carefully selecting experts to come on and talk about their purview, not just ours. But it's interesting how harmonious we tend to be with those experts. We need to get somebody on here that we can have a good fight with. We need to get one of those.
We had someone on here, though. We didn't fight with them. Remember, we just like politely disagreed.
Yeah, I'm tired of being polite. We're going to turn this into the Jersey podcast.
Well, if you want to fight, we can always bring on the Russian nightmare. He's been on the show before. If you want to really fight.
We're going to put him out of wrestling.
I am putting my bets on Nikita. I will tell you that.
Nikita Koloff. Yeah, he's been on the show before.
Yep.
Yeah, he has.
So there are things that we should do to bring on opposing points of view. If you have a point of view, you think of yourself as some kind of an expert, post a comment on Facebook and say you want to be on the show.
Or email sellordie@getimer.com.
Yeah, we'll
get back to
you. We probably will not respond to you, but try.
Hey.
We will. We'll respond to everybody.
Doug will totally respond.
Yeah.
All right, it's time once again to check Facebook. And I wanted to say hello to some of the people who have been liking our show.
Cool.
Matt, John, Mary, James, Nicholas, Agostino, Amber, Lainey, Ray, Anthony, Reza, Adriana, Luga, Mary,
and thousands
Tina,
more just
John,
like them.
Christine the Licious goes on. Thank you so much for liking our show.
Yep.
If you have questions, please add them to the comments box and we will be happy to answer them.
Sometime between now and then. But
now
I'd rather answer them right on the show. It's much more fun.
Yeah, no, we'll answer them on the next show.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You missed your chance for this show. Sorry.
Cool, yeah.
You snooze, you lose.
Over.
Done.
And speaking of over.
Whether you're watching or listening, I want to thank you for joining us on Sell or Die.
What is subscribe, watching?
Because they're watching us on Facebook.
It's amazing how many flubs you can make when it's live.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, the beauty of live.
Okay, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or whatever you use to get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter and Facebook to find out when we're going to be going live next. When we go live, we tell everybody.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to our guest, Tony Hughes. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell, even if you're ass falls off.